that you can be protected here. The Bible says that that the angels of God encamp around about those that reverence God. So if you're not born again, you know, that fear God, the Bible says, that means a reverence for Him, a respect for God. So if you're not born again, you need to open up your heart to the Lord and let Him come in, praise God, and get born again of the Spirit of God. So, you know, I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about how, you know, I've heard a lot of folk, you know, say, over preachers and different things over the years, you know, we're living in modern times. I heard that back in the 90s, you know, more modern. And I do agree that things are changing in the world, but God's word don't change. God's way don't change. I mean, He's anointed people to preach this word right here in faith, under the anointing, by the Holy Spirit, and that will get people saved. That will bring the backslidden home. And when we are walking with God and walking in the faith of God, we carry something like Peter did. Our presence, our businesses need us, workplaces need us. But see, the enemy, the Lord began to speak to me today. I was had to put an alternator on the box truck. It went out, you know. And so I was putting it on there, and I just heard this thought, distraction. And so I started pondering that. I started thinking about that, distracted, you know. And so the title tonight is Don't Be Distracted. We have a million reasons, comes at us all the time, that the enemy uses to try to distract you, to divert your attention away from God. Away from his ability in your life. The Bible says that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the glory of God, that we will realize that it's the glory of God and not us. It's the power of God and not our own strength and not our own ability and not our own power. Now, Satan ain't got no new tools. But you know, I mean, if you go and you read the book of Ephesians chapter 6 up there, it talks about principalities, it talks about powers, and I'm fixing to let Beth put that up there because I'm quoting some of it because I'm not going to major on that, all of it. But it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And you study that out, it means stay in union with Him. Stay in line with Him. Keep your mind on Him. Keep your attention on Him. You know, all of that. And it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That tells you that there's going to be people that are influenced by the demonic world. And our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our battle is not, I don't care in the family. I don't care if it's in friendship, if it's in whatever the case may be. But that tells us, because He said that there's going to be people yielding to darkness that is going to cause us trouble. You can see it all through the Bible, praise God. But he says principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high heavenly places. You know, and then He goes on and talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Give me that, Beth, that Ephesians 6, whatever it is. I never forgot. Therefore, put on the complete armor of God that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. This is amplified. Stand your ground. Somebody say, stand your ground.
Stand your ground.
It says that you will be able to stand your ground in the evil day of danger. And having done all, the crisis demands to stand firm in your place. He says, the crisis demands. And I felt led to go to the Amplified. I hardly ever go to the Amplified. And I thought, a crisis demands us. It tries to put a demand on us. Calamity, unsuspected trouble, all of that. It tries to put a demand. It demands us to bow. It presents that we must give in to this. But He said here, and we have the armor of God. We have the breastplate. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have the helmet of salvation. God's word is first place, final authority. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We gird our waist is girded with the truth. with God's Word. So we have on the armor of God. We have it on. We put on the armor of God. We do it by faith. We've got it. So you've got to know that you've got the armor. Don't let the enemy say, tell you, you don't have the armor of God. You got it already. You got salvation. You've got the righteousness of God. It's a gift from God. You have the Word of God. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the anointing of God. You have the grace of God. You have the ability to stand. It says, the cross of God, stand firm in your place. Stand therefore. Hold your ground. Having tightened the belt of truth around your loins and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. We are in right standing with God, but if you're not saved, you're not in right standing with God. You don't have the armor. The only way this armor comes is through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Him and trust in Him, having faith in God that He sent Jesus, praise God. But I could just see, Bradley preached a sermon back in 90-something, I don't know when it was, but he was talking about distractions. And at that time, I mean, there's a lot going on in my life at the time these sermons meant something to me, you know. But he talked about cowboy and Indians, and that's all Dad used to watch, old cowboy, westerns and all of that, you know, and Indians and they scapping white folk and all kind of stuff, you know. But the Indians, they would go and they would surround the cabin or whatever that the cowboys were in, and they would light a fire or burn something, make a distraction out front, and they would come in the back and set it on fire or whatever, you know. And he talked about distractions, you know, and I thought to myself, you know, we're to put blinders on. We're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I thought things at work's trying to distract me. I'm sitting in that service. I'm thinking things at work is trying to distract. I got delivered from food stamps and that was trying to distract me. I mean, things were turning me loose. You know, I've been getting to prosper, not realizing that prosperity is taking me. See, God is with you. God is for you, and who can be against you? And if you're walking with God, everything that is trying to get you to bow, the distractions are only making you stronger unless you yield the wrong way. I learned this back years ago. I heard a preacher say this. He said, never let Satan see you sweat. In other words, what that meant to me is there's nobody going to know when I'm in a trial. I'm going to be in faith in God alone. He's the only one that can deliver me. He's the only one that can help me out in where I'm at. I was really had a lot of problems, you know, at the time. But never let Satan see me. And so I thought, how do I do that? How do I not let Satan see me sweat? And I started thinking about Scripture back then. I thought, you know, how do you do that? How do you, you know? Well, I quit beating the post off my porch. He saw me sweat it. He saw me get into it with Teresa. He saw me get mad down there, you know, when they were doing things that I felt was contrary, you know, bringing hardship on me, people and different things. I was letting Satan see me fall for the trials, fall for the distractions. And so I realized it. I thought, well, you know what, praise God. The Bible does say that Satan is roaming to and fro the earth seeking whom he may devour. You know, so I thought, well, he's watching for me. Well, I was working for my brother's, we was roofing and they, you know, at lunchtime, they'd sit around, talk about the Lord and stuff, and it was all good, you know. But at that time, I thought I'm going to spend some separated time. Because I find that Jesus went away from everybody and got alone. You know, Jesus did. And so I'm out, and while they're eating their lunch and all that, I ate a quick sandwich, and I had my New Testament out. I carried with me a little New Testament most of the time. And I was reading that, and all of a sudden, I just looked up, and I looked across, across a big field, and there was a house with some hedge bushes out in front of it, really neat cut hedge bushes. And all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to me, the Holy Spirit. He said, Satan can't even get near you. He said he's watching. He's watching for an opportunity to get to you, to come to you. And see, I realized then, you know what? I believe that I have authority over him, whether it's coming. I mean, I've been in trials, Teresa yielding to the flesh or whatever, and I've done the same, vice versa. We've all been in the flesh. I'm sure if you ain't never been in the flesh, you don't even know what being in the spirit is yet because you're still in the flesh. Okay? Yielding to a wrong spirit, and I would know. I'd be like, "Bless God, this is not her. This is the devil, and I'm not going to yield to this. I'm not going to yield to it. I'm not going to fight with her." And we both done it. Vice versa. We learned the tricks and things that the enemy, because we didn't know back then. But after we get up 10, 15 years old in the Lord, or not even that long, we ought to be a little bit wiser to what he's trying to do to us. You know. Don't be distracted. How many knows we will have ample opportunities on our journey to be distracted and discouraged? Let me read you the definition of distracted. I looked it up. Having one's thoughts and attention drawn away, unable to concentrate or give attention to something. I thought, man. So anything that draws your heart and eyes away from God is your trust. God is your deliverer. You are distracted. You're distracted right then. You done been distracted. You're already distracted. You see, God wants us to stand firm, unmovable. He wants us to be where nothing moves us. Nothing moves us, praise God. I remember one time my mom, I felt she come to me. She said, "I need you to meet me at the lawyer's office." About 1996, something like that. I don't know when it was, in the 90s. And she said, "I want you to meet me down at the lawyer's office Friday or whenever it was." I said, "What's going on?" She said, "You'll see." And we get down there and go in, and she signed everything property wise and all that she had over to me. You know, and I sat there and I said, "What is this?" And she told me. And I said, "Nah." I said, "You don't know what you're doing." I said, "Do you know what you're doing?" I said, "Now you've got a bunch of other kids." I said, "You got a bunch of other kids, you know." She said, "I know what I'm doing. I want to do this, and this is my will, and this is what I'm doing." I said, "Okay, I want you to understand what you're doing. When you put this over into my name," I said, there will never be anything borrowed or anything on it ever." "That's fine, that's what I want to do." Well, went on and I thought, glory to God, God is a good God. I mean, she just put everything she's got in my name. You know, and then I thought, oh my God, the battle begins. So anyways, it wasn't too long went by till she called me up and said, "I need you to come out, I need to see you." And I said, "Okay." So I go out there. One of my brothers was wanting her to put up some land to get a trailer, to buy a trailer. And I said, "I don't care if I'm knowing it." And I said, "No." I said, "No." I said, "That's not going to happen." I said, "You remember?" I said, "God did this for you." I said, "God did this for you. God did it for you. He did it so that nothing can ever take your place. Nothing can ever take your home. Nothing." I said, "It's already fixed." I said, "And that's not going to happen." I said, "I will not do it." And boy, I'm telling you, she got me. I'm telling you the story for a reason now. I'm believing God. I'm prospering, going in, going out. Oh, don't lose your faith when a trial hits. Don't be distracted off of where you're going. You're the head, not the tail. You lend and not borrow. If God be for you, who can be? Don't let nothing rock your boat. Whenever you're going forward and you're moving forward and you're marching forward, and here comes my mama. And so she's all mad. I left. I said, "I won't do it. I just won't do it." "False prophet. You're a false prophet. What a false prophet you are." I mean, you know, and she lived out in her bathroom window Her house was probably about far wide as this church is from my house, where my truck sit. Every morning when I went out, she'd make sure she's in the bathroom. And she called me a false prophet. Every day she called me a false prophet. What a preacher you are. Your own mama. Out of anger, she's yielding to the devil. She's yielding to the dark side. Love don't respond that way. Love forgives. Love don't keep an account of evil done or wrong done to you. So I knew that it wasn't love. All good things come from God. This wasn't good, so I had to say it's of the devil. See, the Bible says that when you exercise your senses, you get stronger meat, more revelation, more insight. Strong meat belongs to those who have in their senses exercised that they know good and evil. God told me one time, he said, anyways, went on, you know, and I would leave and I would feel brokenhearted. How many knows you're not in faith? You're not out of faith just because you have got emotions. When you yield to it is when you yield and when you're getting out of faith. When you yield to it, when you get mad, when I got mad at my mama, you know, because her heart was to help my brother. See what I'm saying? I mean, her will at that moment was to help one of her kids. But my will now is to make sure my mama don't ever have to leave her home because she don't owe nothing. Right? And so I would leave and I would be like, God, this is pain, you know. And then I thought, that's probably Jesus multiplied about a million times when he was separated from God. Lord, let this cup pass. But you know what? Jesus was not distracted. His attention was not diverted away from God. It was not diverted away from the will of God. He kept a sound mind. How many knows we've been given sound minds? But now, you know, I mean, the enemy can distract and get your mind and cause you to go through unnecessary working of your mind, fear of the future, fear of what it can bring, fear of what it'll do, fear of this and that, you know. But you know what? I gained victory in the Lord. I went on and I told Satan, I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I said, God, I don't even have to pray about this. You did this. You put this in my name, and I'm going to stand my ground for my mama. I made a commitment that I would love her and honor her because I didn't get to honor my daddy because I wasn't saved. I dishonored him. But I was set out to do the will of God. Once you set out to do the will of God, you know, Satan is going to try to divert your attention away from your goals. See, Habakkuk said, write the vision, make it plain that those that read it can run with it. In other words, we get it down in our heart what we're going to be in the Lord. We're going to prosper in the Lord. We are the healed of God. You know, no weapons formed against us will prosper. Let them prosper, but we're not going to be diverted. You're not going to be diverted. And that faith turns your situation into victory. Hallelujah. I remember one time Travis, you know, he's got to be a teenager and all that stuff, and he didn't want to work around the house, you know. And so Teresa, she come and she told me, she said, I'm telling you right now, one of us has got to go. And I thought, you know what, I've always made up my mind. There ain't nothing going to come between me and Teresa. You know, not the devil, not people, or anything like that. You know, and I thought, and Travis is in the same category. So I go to Travis, and I told him, I said, son, I said, now we're Christians. You know, I told him, I said, son, I said, don't ever make me choose between you and your mother. Just don't do it. He ain't never forgot that. He ain't never. He wouldn't then. He wouldn't have done it on purpose. But you know what, praise God, I won't be diverted of my vision because somebody don't want to do their part. Somebody don't want to get in, and do his part. And I love them. I'll lay my life down for both of them. But if they go to yielding to the devil, I'm going to choose God. You have to have your heart in mind. Over my mama, I chose God. Over my son, I chose leave your father and mother and cleave to your wife. I chose my wife over my son. See, there's order in the kingdom. I'm telling you this stuff where nothing distracts you. And you move right on and you're the savior of all that's even trying to distract you. Not the savior, but I'm talking about you'll be a light. You'll be a blessing to them, praise God. See, letting distraction get you diverted away puts you in a place of helplessness for others. Hallelujah. But Satan's strategy, he got strategy. Just like, I'll be glad when all this election stuff's over. I'm ready to get on. Let's get on past November. Because a lot of God's people's distracted. It's distracting them. You know, we're not looking for a man or a woman to deliver us. Our deliverer is Jesus Christ, hallelujah. His power, I've seen him with ungodly rulers, prosper me. He prospered me because I knew the scripture and wouldn't be distracted by the enemy being in his place. Even the devil works for me at times. What the enemy means for my bad, God turns it around and it works out for my good. Romans 8:28. He said, for we know that all things work together for the good to those that love God and to those that are called according. Don't be distracted. I've seen it. I got discouraged. That's why I quit football. Not playing. I played football one time and because I could run fast barefooted. Man, they wanted me in that football team, Cleveland. You know, and so they taught me into it, and I joined up. And I didn't even know which way to run. I could just run. So they throwed me the ball, and I went the wrong way. And I run all the way and got a touchdown the wrong way. That was the last time I played, Mac. Well, they give me the plays, but I ain't doing the homework. That's stupid. I can do it in school, and I don't even do my homework at school. And they want me to go study these plays. I got to go fishing after school. I was distracted. And it caused me to run the wrong way, you know. But that's why I quit too much watching football, because I'm an Alabama fan. You know, I still am, you know. And if they ever lose, I lose my Christianity for 3 weeks. God, man, are you serious? Trey said something the other day, and I told her, I said, give me 1 minute. Y'all remember that? 1 second. I said, give me 1 second. She looked at me. She knew what I thought about. Auburn tore them up in 1 second. Woo, y'all go, girl. But you can't depress me if Auburn wins or Auburn loses. I unengaged with anything pertaining to that can distract me, that can get my emotions moved in any way. My son can't get my emotions moved. My wife can't get my emotions moved unless I let it. As long as I don't let anything in my ship, you can't sink it. And if I guard my thoughts, I will be in control of my emotions. If I guard my mind, if I keep my mind, praise God, and don't let it go off on scenarios, what might happen, what could happen, how to, if I don't do all that and I focus in and I say, nope, God's with me. Greater is He that is in me. That's all you've got to do. Stand firm in your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts, I almost divorced Teresa one time because the economy downfall and everything was in my name. And I hadn't put things in our name. And so I'm fixing to, you know, I mean, I'm fixing to probably get sued and all kinds of stuff, you know, and all of that. And I thought the only way, see, I was being distracted, Johnny, because I thought, man, I need to divorce her and put everything that we got in her name to save us. How many knows that is not good? We don't figure out how to keep our life straight. We let God do His work. We stand still and we see the salvation of our God. Why? Because we know that God said in Proverbs, a good name is rather to be chosen than fine gold and silver. Well, we stand on that. I'm not going to have a bad name. It looks like I'm going to have... See, I was going the wrong way, fixing to destroy everything that we had believed and built together in Jesus. But once I quit being distracted by my thoughts trying to figure out how to save us and turned it over to the Lord, that's what 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care over on the Lord cause He cared for you. And that's where it goes on and said, because your adversary, the devil. I mean, I've had people in here, I mean, had a lady back there, I was talking about this the other day. This lady had come to church here, and they're somewhat pretenders. You know, I mean, you know, my mom, I told her one time, I said, Mom, I said, look, you know, don't stay sick. You know, don't stay sick so you can get attention. She was a attention drawer, you know. I said, that's not good. Well, anyhow, I go back there, and I seen a little commotion, and I walked back there right before service, about 3 or 4 minutes before service. Walked back there, and she laid out on the floor. And they're like, oh, my God, she passed out. And she's like, she passed out. And I walked over there, you know, and I said, they said, call ambulance. I said, we ain't got time for no ambulance. I said, give me your hand. I said, get up in the name of Jesus right now. And she got up, and I said, now march in there. We got to start service. I said, we ain't got no time for no ambulance. What was that? A distraction. Right before service, right? Yes. Satan tries to distract y'all. Oh, I wonder where everybody's at. Oh, God, it's just not good when they're... No, it's good. Just don't make it bad for us. Yes. Come on, somebody. I mean, we're here. God's here. We're in faith. We're moving forward. We ain't letting them ain't coming to church distract us and get us all discouraged like God ain't big and God can't move for us. God will prosper you in spite of everybody else. I've walked alone in it, praise God, and been felt alone. And I thought that's probably how Jesus felt up there when He was in the wilderness. He was led out into the wilderness. I looked up the word wilderness, and it says a lonely place. He was out there alone. He was in a lonely place. Nothing out there. 40 days and nights, man. You know, and I thought, but you know what? Jesus, when the devil come, he didn't bow to his temptation. He didn't bow to his lies. Even though he was quoting scripture, Jesus had a sound mind. Jesus discerned what was going on. Hallelujah. So do we, praise God. Well, you know what? That woman, you know, I told her husband, I think it might have been her brother, I said, ain't no need y'all falling out here. I raised the dead. Y'all looking like a cow at a new gate. The Bible says you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, right? The pastor don't have to go do it. Either one of y'all can walk in. What's going on? Call an ambulance. No, I am the ambulance. Why? Because you ain't distracted. The word says greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. Hallelujah. I've had people got on their nerves before, you know, telling them about the gospel, and they thought I just had everything figured out, but they just didn't know I'm walking by faith. I'm not focusing on what I'm going through, so it looks like I'm not going through anything because I'm in faith and I'm not focused on that. I'm looking at the eternal things, what God can do. And they tell me later, boy, I got mad at you. I got mad. What'd you get mad for? Because, I mean, you had everything, blah, blah, blah. And I say, oh, you just don't know. I was this and this and this, and you was broke. And I said, I was beyond broke. Well, we didn't know it. I said, yeah, shouldn't have knew you were. I thought you was in faith. Never let Satan see you sweat. Some of them may get upset watching tonight. I mean, truth is truth, right? Hallelujah. If I'm getting off course, please, God, send somebody in my path that'll crack that shell for me. Went to church one night, praise God, and the Lord said, go up and let Brad pray for you. And I just got up, you know, and when he had the altar call, and I went up to him, and I said, God wants you to pray for me. I said, I don't really know about what. I mean, I could have dumped 3 months behind on him, done got a quick foreclosure on my house, got to move out, going to do a quick sale. They done send me all the paperwork to they going to help me. Then when I sent it back to them 3 or 4 days later, got a letter, you don't qualify, and I wanted to go kill the bank. What did you even offer? You knew it didn't qualify. I'm 3 months behind. Are you stupid? You know what it was? It was something to try to get me distracted even deeper. Well, I go to church that night, so I understand trials. I understand, but I understand victory. I understand faith, hallelujah, that faith is the substance of the thing you're hoping for, and it's the evidence of what you don't see. Faith is the substance. That's water in that bottle. Faith is substance. And it's all the evidence, the Word of God, that you need to know that you have victory, that this is going to work out. Now, I go and he says, he's praying for me. And then he opened his eyes and he said, Brother Scotty, he said, you are in quicksand. He said, I don't understand it. He said, but I see in my spirit you're in quicksand. He said, and that quicksand is God. And I could see my nose barely out of it. You know, you've seen them movies where they fall off in them quicksand. Don't move. You got to sit still. Because the more you move, you're dropping on down. I guess that's the way it works, the way they make it work in the movies, you know. And so I left there and I thought, I don't understand this. And I get home and I wouldn't comply with some things that God was wanting me to comply because I didn't understand. See, that's why the Bible says for me and you not to lean to our own I was distracted away from the answer. Not to lean to our own understanding. But fear was talking to me. Travis is going to be on the street. All the church is going to be in a mess. I'm messing bad. The pastor goes under. Everything goes under. Boy, I felt the weight of all of it, Johnny. I mean, I felt like, man, if I flunk this test, I'm going to dunk the whole church and I'm going to dunk Travis's life. But you know what? I was not supposed to be carrying that worry, that fear. Worry is fear. We're never to worry. Don't worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Don't worry. See, worry takes your mind off to scenarios. But faith will carry you into vision. Faith will cause you to have peace and joy. Fear will cause you to be delete of those. You know, and so I get home and I tell Teresa, she said, you're going to have to comply. She said, you got to do what God's saying. You got to do this and this and this. She knew what to do, but I'm the one, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. She's on the outside looking in, see, so to speak. And so, but I'm in the fire, but she's in it. Well, you know what? That night I just repented. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, God. I've been tying your hands. I've been limiting you. I've been stopping you from delivering me and didn't even know it, God. God, I had to go. That's why I said a while ago, thank God that when He sends somebody in our path that breaks that shell, that reveals what we need to do. And so once I did it, it wasn't too long, I'm telling you. We got delivered out of that, one of the worst trials we ever been in our whole Christian life. I mean, praise God, you know, I know what feeling defeated feels like. I know what feeling hopeless as a Christian feels like. I know what all that feels, but also experience the other side. Once I really rolled that over on the Lord and I quit worrying about it, I quit trying to fix it, I quit being distracted, hallelujah. And you know what? It wasn't long, praise God. God brought a breakthrough in one move and He delivered us, and we have never been late on anything else again, and we don't owe anybody anything years later. I'm convinced that if you don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by sickness in your body. You attach, you get a report, praise God, go ahead, you know, and find scripture if you don't know it, but the Bible says in Isaiah, whose report shall we believe? And we turn to that. We say, I'm going to believe this report. I know what the doctor said, but I'm going to believe it. A lot of them told me, you know, get on disability. I make too much money to be on disability, baby. Disability limits my blessing. And so I wouldn't be distracted by that. I told my body what you are. Body, you are the healed of God. I still fight symptoms today. I think all the time, well, most of them's got arthritis, and it's inevitable, and it runs in the past. You're out to ride. I have a hard time writing that for the doctors. They want to know your family history, you know. And I'm like, diabetes. Oh no, can't do that. I just can't do it. Ain't nobody got a... Yeah, but I just don't care about writing it. That doctor don't own me, and he ain't going to get me to get in agreement with the bloodline that's been broken in my life. Come on, somebody. Call that rebellious if you want to. To me, that is using wisdom. I'm not identifying with none of that. I'm not taking on none of that. Travis got attacked something the other day, a couple of days, and going down the road, and he said, "But God, I just told it. I'm not taking that. I am not taking that. Praise God." I told him, I said, that's what the shield of faith is. I said, that's just, you know, where a lot of times, if you ain't careful, you go, oh boy, my throat's getting scratchy. I think I'm getting something. Something's coming on me. Oh, I knew it. Oh, no, don't lay down with that bed bug. Praise God, you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Satan messing with your stuff, get on him. Tell him, loose your stuff, tell him. I bind him over this service tonight. This is our service. This don't belong to no demonic spirits. This ain't going to happen in this place. This is our service. Your life, your life, God has given you His life, and you have authority. I had people tell me that Travis is going to backslide, and sow his oats and all of that, and I would not take that. Why? Because I wasn't going to be distracted from what the Bible plainly tells me, that if I raise my son in the way that he should go, even when he's old, he won't depart. Now, it looked like it for a little while there, but you know what? He got miserable, and miserable because in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. Somebody told me one time, he said, I raised my son. I said, well, just don't worry about it. I said, you know, life has a way of making you miserable without God. And so Travis, he begins to get miserable. He can't stand himself. He'd just soon stay in the bed so he don't have to look in the mirror. You ask him and see if he didn't feel that way. He couldn't even put up with his own self. Why? Because he had been used to God. So you know what? He figured out real quick this was good. You know, God was good. God's good. I got to go back to God. And you know what? That wasn't just his choice. That was his father standing up in faith saying, no, you can't have him, Satan. You will not have him. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I will not look at what it looks like. I will not look at what he's doing. I will not look at what he's saying. I deleted him off of my Facebook because I'm not putting up with you. Why? Because you're trying to distract me from standing up for you. Now, he didn't realize all of that. But I'm telling you, I thought I'm getting him out of my living room, clean out of my house. I can do more without him. I mean, I know y'all quiet. Maybe you're learning. But you know what? Look where he's at. Look, God got my two, beautiful grandbabies, training them up in the Lord, teaching them the things of God, teaching them how to stand in faith in school a little bit here and there and there. All of that, praise God, a result of my stand, not looking at what it looked like. I believe that. I believe it. Johnny just quoted the scripture, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, is bound in earth. Whatever you loose, we bind and loose. I loose the anointing on him. I loose the Holy Spirit on him. Hallelujah. And I didn't say, oh God, it ain't happening. Every day when it did, I did not. I forgot him. Not really forgot him, but he ain't going to be on my mind all day long. I even went and told Teresa, I said, I think he's going to have to find him a job because I can't put up with him. Well, I can't put up with a rebellious attitude every morning. Well, that's dumb. I come out of that rebellion, man. I got the peace of God, so I'm fixing to fire him. I told Teresa, I said, the ball's in his hands. I said, it's up to him. Hallelujah. And thank God he made different decisions. But what I'm saying is, you're not coming over into my camp and ruin my walk with God. I'm not going to let you do it. My son, my mom, God told me one time, showed me one time in the scripture there with Jesus when he was in there teaching the children. I believe he was teaching the children. And they went and they went inside. His family was outside. And they said, Jesus, your mother, brothers, and sisters are here. And Jesus responded, he said, these are my mother's brothers and sisters, those that does the will of God. And in my heart, I thought, oh my God, that's pretty deep. That's pretty deep. I thought, man, he chose Christians here over his mother and brother and sisters out there. That's where I got that. And I thought, well, black God, that don't mean hate my family or nothing, praise God. But you know what? If you're not if somebody's not walking with God, you don't have a whole lot in common with them. That's why there's a whole lot of conflict. There's just a whole lot of conflict. But you got to stand your ground, just like with your kids. You got to stand your ground in the middle of the conflict, you know, so that you can win for them. Hallelujah. It's just like the debate. I'm watching the debate, and she's trying to make him mad. I want to call her Hillary. She's not as bad. She's worse than Hillary. But anyways, I wanted to call her Hillary. Well, she's over there trying to make him mad. I believe it worked a little bit. I watched it. I watched it with an open mind. I'm entertaining myself because it ain't going to make no difference. God is in control of this, you know. So I'm kind of just entertaining myself, watching the debate, you know. But she's trying, and I prayed right before they went in. I said, God, I thank you, Lord, right now that Donald Trump will not be distracted. God, he will be calm and cool and think straight, God, and he will stay on what you want him to stay on so that his voice goes out and opens the ears of those that can't see the truth. I was depending on God's voice through the man. Well, you know, I thought, he's not being distracted by this. You know, because it was 3-1, them moderators and all. Didn't even make her answer stuff. But anyways, he didn't get distracted. And I didn't even think about that today. Whenever God told me that, then I thought about it. I thought, you know what? He didn't get distracted, man. She got him a little upset. But he's just passionate. He's passionate about what he said. I believe he's got God's heart in his heart and don't even realize it. That God wants to use him, raised him up for this time, just like you've been raised up. Look at all the attacks. I want to be a man kind of like Trump. I mean, he's better than a Timex. I mean, this dude has been under the gun for 8-9 years. And I mean, still coming back like an old pit bulldog. I had an old pit bulldog one time. His name was Reno. And that dog, he's a good dog. But I'm telling you, he could not stand a weed eater. And me either. He was just like me. I just didn't like weed eaters. And so, man, I'm out there every time. I come in from work and I'd have to weed eat the fence and all of that stuff. And I was fine outside. But when I had to come on this side, I mean, he's after the weed eater. And I'm like, go, Reno, go. Get out of here. Leave it alone. Blah, blah, blah. And he made me mad. You know, and so I says, okay, you want it? And it cut his lips all up, tongue up. But he come on in there and he got that weed eater and killed it. I even took, he's about 40, 50 pound bulldog, pit bulldog. I raised him up and I'm holding that dog up and he is not turning loose of that. And God spoke to me, he said, that's the way I want you with my word. He said, I want you where you can get hit, you can get cut, you can get scars, but you will be standing still, steadfast, standing on my word, believing me. I thought, glory to God, use that dog. He used that dog, and I started working on it. I started working a little bit deeper on it, praise God. Hallelujah. You know what was happening? God was causing me not to be distracted. And see, don't be distracted by finances. Stand firm and believe Him. Don't be distracted by people. Stand firm and believe Him. Don't be distracted by trouble at work. Don't let what you're going through get in you. Don't let what you're going through move you. I mean, stand firm. Victory depends on me and you standing firm. Y'all remember when Jesus was in, he told the disciples, he had been out teaching them. He had been teaching, you know, on the bank. And he told them, he said, let's get in the ship. He said, let's go to the other side. That's in red letters in Mark, or Matthew, I think. Anyhow, it's in red letters. And he goes in there and he goes to sleep. And y'all know the story, I preached it, but I had a revelation, you know, for my own life out of that story. I mean, Jesus is asleep and the storm come. But he had told them, let's go to the other side. So they had the word on it like Peter, let's walk on water. I mean, just like Peter, come. And he walked on water, had the word. So they already had the word that they're going over. We've already got the word that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. We've already got the word that by Jesus' stripes we were healed and we are healed. We've already got the word of God that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. But you know what? Jesus got up and Jesus said, peace be still. And he expected the disciples to do that because he got on to them. He said, where's your faith? Why didn't you use your faith? Why is it you have no faith? What happened? They got distracted by the storm, Johnny. That's all. They begin to look at their circumstance, look at their storm, and all of that, and determine whether they was going to have victory or not based on their circumstances. See, the circumstances will defeat you if you get distracted by them. Don't let what you're going through get in you. Just don't let it happen. The Bible says for me and you to cast our cares. And that's one of the things we got to do. We got to cast down those thoughts. I mean, we went through, you know, God told me, he said, I want you to believe me for big jobs, less work, and more money. And I just didn't. Somebody told me one time, well, you know, God knows our heart. We don't really have to go around saying it. I said, you don't. I'm going to say what God says. I said, God sent the Holy Spirit out over the earth. I said, light. I said, the Holy Spirit's coming to us. I said, God spoke light, spoke everything into existence. I said, and the Bible says, as God is, so are we in this earth. I said, so you don't have to speak what God says in your heart. I don't know if you'll get it or not. I can't prove it yet, but I'll let you know. Because I'm going to say it. Well, it's been happening ever since. I get a little bit of residential stuff, but I get a lot of commercial. I mean, a guy just called me today. He said, I talked to you about 3 months ago. He said, I'm ready to order them doors. I think the doors were like $30,000. And I'm like, yes, Jesus. Yeah, it ain't even about the money to me. It's about what he said, and I'm saying it. I said it. I have big jobs, less work, and more money. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And you know what I'm saying? If that means something to you, y'all not to go, that's dumb. Ain't no need me saying that. Oh, yes, they are any need for you saying that. The Bible says, believe the prophet and prosper. So if he's saying that, well, I don't want no work. Don't get into your mind. It may not come in that. Somebody might just decide, like I have, to give people money the rest of their lives. Right? I don't know if that's believing or not, but they got it. Praise the Lord. So stay steady. Don't be distracted. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted by the media. The media, don't believe them. I can't even believe I'm having to stand up here and say that. Unreal to me. Don't believe them at all. They got the polls. The polls are lying. They're rigging the poll numbers to get you discouraged, that there ain't no use in you fighting. There ain't no use in you praying and interceding for the nation anymore. There ain't no need in it. Nothing's working. They're going to give you evidence that is contrary to the truth. Hallelujah. I mean, when you can get on there and just lie, and they know it's a lie, and they don't hold you accountable, that's time us Christians quit listening to that stuff. That's why God's word don't change. That's why you can trust us Christians, hallelujah, because we got truth in us. We got integrity in us. We stand in faith, and our God moves and delivers us and moves for us and heals us and brings breakthroughs when we need it. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we build integrity, asked the guy, I said, where are you going to church today? He said, well, I go to so-and-so church, you know. And he said, but I've had to back off till I back out of church for a little bit till I develop patience. And so I told him, I said, well, I said, you just come on down. I said, I'm pastoring in Bluntsville while you're developing patience and visit with us. He probably thought he's stupid. I told him, I quit church till I get more patient. You're not going to get more patience sitting at home. Believing God's going to help you build patience at home. You need somebody. To build endurance, you got to have somebody in your life. You need. God sometimes sends you an adversary. Somebody told me, you think God would do that? I said, well, he put David under Saul. He was ungodly. I said, so he sent him in the devil's den. I said, God needs us to be out here in among these wolves. We're sheep. I said, he needs us. He needs us sheep. He's not going to send us. I mean, you know, somebody told me one time, they said, boy, don't you just want to quit that job? All they do is taunt you and they cuss and all of that stuff. I said, absolutely not. I said, it's making me. I said, this is making me. I said, this is helping me to be strong. I said, if I run away from this, I said, every sinner is going to get on my nerves and I'm going to have to leave every job because they sinners everywhere. I said, they're even in church, man. They said, they in church? I said, yeah, a bunch of hypocrites in church. And you go to that church? I said, yeah, they're everywhere, in every one of them. I said, I can be real right amongst a bunch of hypocrites. I said, what? They can't affect me. I'm believing God. Hallelujah. Well, all of that was trying to divert. And I was helping those other guys. Well, I never thought about that, you know. I said, hey, man, are you serving the church or Jesus? If you're serving Jesus, then don't worry about the church. God told you to go there. I mean, bless God, as long as there ain't no false doctrine, you go there and you develop. You learn how to submit. You learn how to get along with your brothers and sisters. You learn how to take correction. See, that dude can't get no correction in his living room. He turned everybody off. I ain't listening to that one. Nah, I got to get Stephen Furtick. He never says anything down on you. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Father God, tonight, Lord. We thank you for the wisdom of God.